Show, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Tomorrow is 420, and that may be a bit mysterious to some. You probably have heard the phrase or the numbers put together, 420. Some people may think that means Earth Day. No, actually, Earth Day is 422. 420 is seen, and you know, the first time that we actually acknowledged 420 on the air must have been, I guess, about 7 or 8 years ago, when, frankly, one of my engineers was familiar with 420. And 420 is an unofficial day of celebration. You might say that it is the national holiday of dope smokers. It is, in point of fact, the day where people smoke weed in abundance to acknowledge their love of the herb and the fact that they, think it should be legalized, and that there are a lot of pot smokers in America and elsewhere around the world, and that it, it's almost like an Arbor Day, I guess, for dope. We're going to get Darren Brown on the line, who is an attorney, a criminal defense attorney, and has done some work in this area, and by that I mean, you have, Darren, you have been a prosecutor prosecuting the charges of possession, transport.
Well, yeah, the crimes that I prosecuted, Phil, have been primarily for the possession of sale of marijuana and interstate transport of marijuana. And I was a prosecutor with the Elko County for 6 years, and that was a big part of our caseload, because people are traveling with the loads of marijuana from California back east, a lot of it going down south, California being the primary production center, if you want to call it that, the United States of this very potent kind of marijuana. So we saw a lot of transport cases, yeah.
What is your, so you prosecuted the possession?
Yes, as I said, possession.
But what I'm saying is, you came out actively. Of course, as a prosecutor, it's your job. But did you not speak out as well when you were running for attorney general?
We did, I was very forceful in my comments about the legalization of marijuana. I do not believe that we should, and I still don't think that we should, and I haven't changed my opinion about that in the many years that I've been an attorney, either on the prosecutorial side or on the defense side. I just don't think that a drug like marijuana should be legalized, because I believe it to be a very dangerous drug. I think it's a gateway drug to much more serious drugs. And I think that the use of marijuana has gone up exponentially almost in the recent years. It has been celebrated in the culture. I think it's we've got to a point now where, as difficult as it is to realize, we've gotten to a point now, I think, where in some cases law enforcement looks the other way when people are using this this drug. So I think that we've got to get our priorities straight again here. And
you called it a gateway drug. Explain that.
Well, what I mean by a gateway drug is, I think that it's a drug that will lead to heroin, that will lead to the use of methamphetamines, the use of crack and crack cocaine, and so on. I think that marijuana is the beginning of a slippery slope that the user is bound and will be destined to slide down into heavier drug use. And that, I think, is the reason why we are opposed and will remain opposed to the legalization of marijuana.
Now, let me ask you a question here about this whole, I'm sure you've heard time and again the arguments against the gateway drug case, that some people will say, for instance, yeah, and we started drinking milk, too, and that led to heroin.
Well, that's a specious argument. I don't think that that's not a drug. We're talking about drug use.
But isn't it also true that a lot of people started drinking alcohol and started with heroin, and a lot of people drank coffee and then went on to a lot of people smoked cigarettes?
No, we're talking about mood-altering drugs again now. You're talking about alcohol. That's entirely different. But I think you'll see statistics would bear me out that the greater number of people who are marijuana users would eventually go on to use heroin than would go on to, using alcohol. This was in the Anslinger report.
Now, that's a very interesting case, the Anslinger report.
Well, the Anslinger report was published in the 1930s and is borne out to be true.
Well, let me just interrupt you. Wasn't the Anslinger report debunked by the city of New York and others as being absolutely fictitious?
I'm not aware of that, not at all. When you say what do you mean by fictitious?
I mean that the city of New York commissioned its own report on the effects of marijuana back in the 40s, right after this Anslinger report came out. And I believe the mayor at that time was LaGuardia, who himself made the announcement of the results, saying marijuana, according to their study, marijuana did not have anything to do with hard drug use, was in point of fact not as serious, destructive a drug as people had said, and so forth. That there was this fear thing going on.
Well, I think you're talking about if my memory serves, if I'm reading you right, Phil, you're talking about this hysteria. People were making fun of very honest efforts to alert the public to the dangers of marijuana, and one of the efforts was a movie called Reefer Madness. Now, if you watch it, yes, it's humorous. But it was an honest effort to keep people aware of the destructive effects of marijuana. Now, I'm not familiar with the city of New York or Mayor LaGuardia commissioning any such report.
No, it was. I mean, this is a fact. And yet that was lost to history, but the Anslinger report continues to be, you know, the one that everybody falls back on.
Well, and with good reason. That was a commission report by the United States government. That said that marijuana leads to harder drugs. It can be addictive. It has led to the increased use of harder drugs. Now, that's where I stand, and that's where I'm. The Anslinger report may, for all intents and purposes, be absolutely false. It may be completely fabricated. But I'm glad that they made the report, because it now has people believing, and they should, that marijuana is dangerous.
All right, so in other words, you're admitting that the Anslinger report could be completely false. You know what I'm saying? It could be completely false, and it could be something that that has nothing to do with reality, and yet you're okay with that.
I'm okay with it because it keeps people away from marijuana. Marijuana is a dangerous drug.
But if the Anslinger report is a false and is a made-up and fictitious bunch of bunk that the U.S. government just threw out there to create a panic back in the 30s, then how can you say that, and you have admitted to that, how can you say that marijuana is a dangerous drug?
Because the Anslinger report, Phil, is made up, doesn't mean that marijuana is not a dangerous gateway drug. The Anslinger report was put together by people who might have been smoking marijuana, for all we know, when they actually wrote it. They might have been on a lot of different drugs when they wrote it. But what we do know is this, that when that report was finished, when they finished writing that report, as stoned as the people who wrote it might have been, as out of their minds on any number of different drugs, both psychotropic as well as sedative hypnotic, it still came out to be a report that was pretty solid in saying that marijuana was a dangerous drug and that it was a gateway drug. Now, who better to tell you that than the individual who's actually using the drug at that time? And again, I don't know if they were actually smoking marijuana when they wrote the report, but it reads as if, you know, they could very well have been on psychotropic drugs or sedative hypnotic drugs or the like. And that's how it reads, but it makes sense in light of what we know today, that marijuana has been used by people and they've gone on to use heroin and other more dangerous drugs.
But you just said, Darren, that the report reads like it was written by people who were on drugs, psychotropic or sedative, hypnotic or otherwise. You just said that, and yet you're saying doesn't make any difference.
It does not make any difference, because what it did do is it alerted the American people to a very dangerous situation vis-a-vis the use of marijuana.
It alerted the American people to a dangerous situation, the use of marijuana, written by people who were themselves, you know, stoned.
I don't know, Philip. What I'm saying is, you're taking my words and twisting them a little bit. I don't know if they were or not. I'm saying it reads like it could have been.
So it reads like it was written by people that were out of their minds.
I don't know if you can say out of their minds. It reads like people who are high on a drug.
Okay, if it reads like, so it was written by people who are high on a drug.
Right.
Then why would you believe what's in it?
Because the evidence bears out the report. The evidence shows us, Phil, that we've had countless people smoking marijuana and going on to using heroin, methamphetamines, ketamine, and the most destructive drug known to man, STP, which is a hallucinogenic that leaves LSD far in the dust. This is what we're having to deal with as a result of this influx of marijuana use.
All right, Darren Brown with us, a former prosecuting attorney. He's now in private practice, and we're talking about 420, but really what we're talking about is marijuana. And he is saying that the Anslinger Report, which is something you guys ought to pull up, it is a report that was written in the 30s. It was commissioned by the U.S. government. It is complete and total horse dung. But it was Harry Anslinger's attempt at scaring the American people so much that marijuana would be illegal and would be prohibited and would just would never cross our radar again. And in a few short years, an independent study commissioned by the city of New York found that none of the things said in the Anslinger report were true. And yet, the Anslinger report remains. The LaGuardia report has faded into history. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's been a long time since we've talked about the effects, just anything having to do with marijuana, the effects of marijuana. I don't know how long it's been since I've talked to anybody about the effects of marijuana, you know, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. We know today, and we have on the line with us Darren Brown, an attorney, former prosecuting attorney. We know today, Darren, that there's medical marijuana. There are doctors that have the science has weighed in favorably on the side of marijuana when it comes to its some of its curative effects.
Phil, that is information that I think it needs to be looked at a little bit more carefully, because first of all, I don't know where the body of literature is that says the medical field has signed off on marijuana as a drug that is, as you put it, curative or is therapeutic in any way. So I think the jury's out on that. I know that there are doctors that prescribe it. There are doctors that prescribe any number of different valerian root. I know doctors that prescribe valerian root, which they say it helps sleep, you know, but this is simply an herb that medical doctors prescribe, and they may be prescribing it because of its a placebo effect, for all I know. No, I don't think that the literature is in at all.
And you're telling me that marijuana, the state of California, which gives out medical marijuana licenses and which has doctors prescribing marijuana...
Look, first of all, no doctor that's worth his weight is going to prescribe a drug, a prescription for a drug that is delivered by way of smoke into the lungs. That's number one. And number two...
So doctors that work at these medical marijuana facilities are, what are they, quacks?
I'm just going to say this. You don't prescribe a drug that you take into your system by way of the lungs, and you certainly don't prescribe a drug that you take into your system that may be helping your rheumatism, or it might be helping any other kind of physical condition. I don't know. It could be in your mind, because we know that marijuana affects the mind and affects the mind as a sedative hypnotic. So your rheumatism may be getting cured. And in its place, you are hallucinating, or you are conceptualizing a conceptual hallucination.
And what do you mean hallucinating? What is that about? What are you talking about? I've known people. I've smoked marijuana myself many years ago.
And you're telling me that you don't smoke marijuana now?
No, I do not. No, I don't.
And let me ask you this: do you think anybody believes that?
It doesn't matter. I don't smoke it. I'll tell you why I don't smoke it.
Because you're saying that because you don't want anybody that you don't want your audience to turn against you.
No. I'll tell you why I don't smoke marijuana. I don't smoke it because it does not affect me biochemically in a pleasurable way. I don't like its effects on me. My drug of choice when it comes to relaxing is alcohol. Marijuana does not coexist in my chemistry, my biochemistry, pleasurably. My heart rate increases. I don't feel good.
Well, are you okay? Are you one of these people that gets paranoid and you want to be taken home from the party early? Is that it?
I think I answered your question here, Darren. What are you talking about? You know,
I'm just telling you. Marijuana. If you want to cure your rheumatism, that's fine. But if you want to look in the mirror and hallucinate that you're something that you're not, or this kind of thing, this is what we're talking about.
And I've never heard of anybody hallucinating on marijuana that way.
You've never heard, when obviously you haven't heard the test case, you haven't heard the talking about the literature where time and again we've had individuals who've gone to the doctor's office and they have reported smoking. Some of this, marijuana, especially the marijuana that today is of a much higher grade, and then they get up and walk to a mirror and look in the mirror and see and are actively hallucinating imagery.
Well, what are you telling me, that they're hallucinating?
In one instance, a young man mentioned that he had finished smoking a marijuana cigarette and had gotten up from the couch that he was sitting on and walked directly to a mirror and looked in and saw, he said he saw a simian or ape or chimpanzee-looking hallucination. I myself, in gaining the job of prosecutor, had to experiment, smoke a little bit of marijuana to know the effects, and I myself hallucinated an image in the mirror when I looked in the mirror.
What did you see?
Well, I remember looking in the mirror and seeing a Teutonic knight, a knight in full armor, staring back at me. So this is a part of the marijuana effects. And when you say that, and then, of course, there's the effect that marijuana has on you, which makes you paranoid and you want to have someone take you home.
And I don't think I ever said that. You know, I don't think I've ever had to leave a party early because I smoked marijuana. I'm just telling you, I don't like.
Well, it's embarrassing to go to your friends and say, oh, God, please take me home. I'm paranoid after the spliff we just smoked. You're going to be embarrassed, and I understand why.
What are we talking about now?
I'm just telling you, Phil, the effects of marijuana on a variety of people, from hallucination to what happens. You say that it biochemically interacts with you and in a negative way.
All right, let me go to a phone call, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know what you mean by I'm paranoid and I want to go home from the party early. I said that the biochemical interaction between my chemistry and marijuana was not pleasant. I didn't like it. I didn't say I got to be taken home from the party early.
Well, it's embarrassing to go to a friend, if you're a guy, and say, hey, Dave, please take me home because I'm scared after smoking that spliff that your brother brought back from Vietnam. You know, it just...
Boy, that's bringing back some memories.
I'll bet it does. I'll bet it does.
In any event, let's go to Shoal. This is Shoal Heller. He is a writer with Inter and has been a guest of ours on the Phil Hendry Show, and we're going to bring him up here on our Newsmaker line. Shoal, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm good, and thank you for putting me on your program tonight.
And are you doing, you're writing an article about 420?
No, I listened to this man you have on your program right now. I wanted to ask him some questions.
Yes, sir.
First of all, sir, may I ask you your name?
Yes, sir. My name is Darren Brown. I'm a private attorney. I was a prosecuting attorney.
All right. My name is Shoal. Shoal Heller, and I write for a magazine in Germany called Inter.
Yes, sir.
I heard what you were saying to Phil. You mentioned that a young man in a test case, you said, had hallucinated the monkey or seen the monkey?
I said what I said to Phil was that we have cases in the case file of young people who have smoked marijuana and have actively hallucinated images. And in one case, a young man smoked this marijuana.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Did you say that this is a potent, you say, Phil?
Yeah, really potent weed?
It was very potent marijuana, yes. It had a very high THC level, yes.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. So this kid smoked this marijuana, got up from his sofa, walked over to the mirror, and saw he hallucinated what he said was a monkey or a monkey face.
So that was the monkey?
That was the monkey face that he saw.
All right, hold on, gentlemen. We'll be right back here with more. It's Darren Brown, and Joel Heller is called in from Inter as we talk about 420, the effects of marijuana, and some of these crazy ideas that Darren has here about it being a gateway drug to heroin. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Talking about a monkey now. No, I'm not talking about a monkey. I'm talking about
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and on the line with me is well, we're talking right now to Darren Brown, who's an attorney at law, and we're actually discussing marijuana because 420 is coming up, which is this unofficial marijuana smokers holiday. We also have Joel Heller, who is a writer for Inter Magazine, which is a German magazine. He's on the line with us as well. And Joel, you wanted to make a point about Mr. Brown.
No, I wanted to ask the attorney that I had read, and we were going to do a piece on your fight against this Dr. Vagnini, if you remember that?
Yes, I know. Yes, the story of what he's referring to, Phil, is I looked into a Dr. Vagnini who has a television commercial right now that is advertising anti-aging testosterone pills. And I looked into prosecuting him for fraud, the name Vagnini. And I don't know how far you want me to go with this.
Well, you know that there was nothing to that.
I understand there was nothing to that. I don't know why I'm talking to this gentleman. Are you here to tell me, sir, that I am somehow, that I'm wrong?
No, I'm not saying. Your opinions are very, I think they're unorthodox about marijuana.
Well, they might be unorthodox about marijuana. In the United States, we've had a longstanding drug problem.
Well, and in Europe, we have the same problem.
You've got a lot of problems in Europe. One of them is drug use. And
all right, look, I don't know where you wanted to go. What were you saying about this Vagnini?
Vagnini was a doctor, unless you want to do it, Mr. Heller.
Well, yes, I looked into this Dr. Vagnini, who had a testosterone-type anti-aging kinds of pills that you could take. And so this is what he had. And Mr. Brown here, the attorney, when you are DA, you looked into him, you thought he was fraudulent based upon his name. And that's the only reason why I asked you the question, because I did not know what was your evidence, you know.
My evidence was that this is a man whose name, he's a guy that's selling anti-aging testosterone pills. His name is Vagnini, Vag. So I thought that it's a great name to change your name to if you're selling anti. You see what I'm saying, Phil?
Yeah. I mean,
well, it does not seem like it's a very good evidence, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is the evidence. You'll want to have evidence against this man if he's going to commit some fraud. You have to have evidence, and your only evidence, the man's name is Vagnini, and his name is pronounced Vagnini.
Well, I pronounced it Vagnini because I thought, and I still think, that's what he wants people to say.
Okay, let me just stop you gentlemen right here.
Don't you see what I'm saying?
No, I don't, and I want to stop you right here. Because what I'm hearing here, Darren, is that you were going to did you investigate this man?
I was told by the county that to not pursue it. So I stopped, but I think they made a mistake.
You were going to investigate this man for fraud simply because his name was Vagnini.
No, not simply because his name was Vagnini. No, I was not. I was investigating him because his name was, and I pronounced it Vagnini for a reason. Because I believe that's what he wanted people to say as he sold his anti-aging testosterone drugs. Do you understand? It's simply a link.
No, I know. I completely get it about the Vagnini, but I find it incredible that you would pursue a case with that as your only evidence.
As with our, that was our opinion too, Phil. When I wanted to do this article, I came to, you know, to Las Vegas. I was going to talk with him, and I, you know, I couldn't believe this, that you are going to, almost like you are going to persecute a man, you know?
I wasn't persecuting Vaginini, no.
Why did you call him Vaginini?
Because I feel that's what he wanted people to say.
And well, what was your evidence to that?
Well, I had talked to at least two individuals who'd purchased these pills from him, and they said Vaginini, Vaginini, and they would look at me and then look at each other and then smile and look down. Now, I understand what that was about. That was them. It was almost like a wink and a nod. Just to, you understand what I'm saying?
No, you said that these men are...
I'm talking to the host of the show right now, if you don't mind, sir. Okay, do you understand what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, well, you're saying that these two guys that you talked to who had purchased pills called him Dr. Vaginini and looked up and looked down and kind of gave you a look.
Yes. See what I mean? I'm talking to the host of the show right now, sir. Yes, that's what I mean. But they asked me to drop it, so I dropped it.
Well, in any event, that's why I recognize your name, because I, you know...
Well, ever since you came on this program, you have been indicting what I've been saying. You questioned whether this man had a monkey hallucination.
No, but you said there was a monkey, and I didn't know what you meant by that. And now you say it's a hallucination.
Yes, I wasn't telling Mr. Henry that a monkey was in the room. Is that what you thought?
I thought you meant that monkey, some sort of monkey. There was some sort of monkey.
Some sort of monkey what?
Well, it was when you were talking about the drug use, I thought you said, well, there was a monkey that was using. I've been trying to...
That a monkey was using? A monkey smoking marijuana?
Yes, that's why I wanted to ask you. I don't know what you mean by that. Was it a voluntary or...
Well, I don't know. This guy's beautiful, Phil. A monkey...
Well, look, Shoal, no. He was talking about a monkey guy hallucinating.
Right. But you see, what I mean was he was talking about a monkey.
I was talking about a monkey, a guy hallucinating a monkey. God!
Wow, I think we've just lost... Are you there, Shoal?
Yeah, I'm right here. Oh, boy, that was really interesting what he just did there. Did he hang up?
Yes, he hung up. Yes, he hung up. You get him back, bud?
I'll try.
What? You tell me, because he got frustrated. What were you asking about?
I thought this man said that they had done some studies, case studies based upon a monkey.
That a monkey had smoked weed.
That a monkey had not only smoked, they had purchased, and this, I thought it was a stupid idea. That's what I'm saying. But I didn't want to anger him, you know, and I guess I did.
Yeah, well, okay. Shoal, thanks very much for being with us. I appreciate having you on the show. It's always great to talk to you.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Phil. I'm not trying to say anything other than here's these commercials where they say that we will increase your testosterone level is fine. And I don't think, but this man has an insecurity, I think, that leads him to prosecute a man because his last name starts with that. You know? And I think that's childish.
All right. I agree with you. Shoal Heller, thanks very much, Shoal, for being on the show. 877-876-PHIL. Now, we're going to see if we can get back on the line here. We're going to try to get back on the line here. Darren Brown. Darren?
Yes, Phil.
All right. I know you got upset.
I got very upset.
And Mr. Heller is gone.
Well, I think that's a wise choice.
Well, he hung up, and I'm glad. I'm glad we've got you back on because you were our guest that was booked. You got angry at him because he was asking some pretty stupid questions.
They were not only stupid. They were designed to try to make me look stupid. And
I can assure you he's a very fair-minded man. I think that he was... he got confused.
Yeah, he got confused. He got confused over this word monkey. I understand he sounds like he was European. Is he Dutch or...
German.
He's German. He's German. So, you know, there's a whole... I've got a lot of issues with that, and which I won't go into. But I will tell you that I feel he was trying to make me look stupid and continued on down this path with the talking about a monkey.
All right, Darren Brown with us, 877-876-PHIL. All right, just a couple of more minutes here before the break. Tell me what you want to see come out of tomorrow is a celebration of marijuana. There's going to be people, and in some parts of the country, it's already tomorrow, where it's Friday. There's going to be people smoking a lot of weed. And there's going to be people celebrating marijuana, and there's going to be people who want marijuana legalized. And in other words, lots and lots of people on the opposite end of where you are on this issue, Darren. So what do you hope happens tomorrow?
Well, what I hope happens tomorrow is that a lot of people get arrested. If there's going to be a lot of people flaunting the drug laws of this country and these states, if there's going to be a lot of people, and let me tell you that the state of California right now, and rightfully so, has been targeted by the Justice Department, and there have been raids, and there have been arrests, and I hope that those raids and those arrests continue. The federal law in this country has been flaunted long enough, and these medical marijuana dispensaries, or whatever you want to call them, Phil, it's all well and good to pass a state law, but there is a supremacy to federal law. It's in our Constitution, and when the United States government prohibits the introduction of marijuana into the country, it prohibits the sale of it, prohibits the use of it, and there are states that violate that federal federal law by selling and otherwise making it available to its citizens. Well, then there has to be a federal interdiction, and I hope that tomorrow 420 sees more federal police, more drug-sniffing dogs, more helicopters, more guns, more cops than these people have seen in their wildest hallucinations. Because I'll tell you something. When they say that I don't have a right to go there, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Because if I've got reasonable suspicion that a felony's being committed, I can go anywhere I want. Because I got this badge, I got this gun, and I got the love of Jesus in my pretty blue eyes. You understand that, right?
Yeah, I sure do, Clint.
Okay, what is that crack supposed to mean?
Clint Eastwood in The Gauntlet? You just gave a whole monologue there.
So what if I did? I'll say it again. I hope tomorrow they see more guns, more drug-sniffing dogs, more helicopters than these people have seen in their wildest hallucinations.
Well, I...
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Darren Brown. Okay, so it will be interesting to see. Tomorrow would be a great day. I mean, I don't want to encourage it, but wouldn't that be funny? No, not really. If the Federals pick tomorrow as the day that they just come sweeping down on somebody's dispensaries and clinics, wherever they may be in the United States, whatever the state, that'd be a real bad joke. You know, that'd be a real bad joke. 877-876-PHIL.
Hey, Phil, just one more. I wanted to just jump in.
Go ahead.
I hope to God, a bad joke, it would make my week. It would make my week. It would make my year to see the...
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number as we continue discussing 420, which is tomorrow, and is the, as I said, the unofficial of, and Darren Brown is back with us for a few seconds. I didn't mean to hang up on you, Darren, you know, but it, we do have to keep it moving.
I understand, Phil. I did have some things I wanted to say, and I was cut off.
Yeah, I understand that. But I had to keep it moving, and you were getting off into your Clint Eastwood, which I didn't understand that at all.
Well, I think it's one of the best monologues ever given in a police movie, where he says, he gives the definition of reasonable suspicion and where I can go and what I can do. And if people are smoking marijuana tomorrow, I can assure you that I will have more drug-sniffing dogs.
Yeah, no, I know the whole speech, but...
Well, then you know exactly what we're going to do.
But I just didn't need to hear it again. All right, let's go to line three. We got Jeff on the line. Hey, Jeff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Phil, and first of all, I'm calling from Southern California, where there is a very large and significant number of people who use marijuana for medical reasons. I myself, I've got a medical marijuana license, and
can I ask you what you use the medical marijuana license for?
If I'm just going to finish what I was going to say, and then I'll, you know, talk to you, sir. But I'm here, and tomorrow is 4:20, and we're going to celebrate the the legalization of the smoking of medical marijuana in the state of California, and we're also going to encourage people all over America. And, you know, all over the country to encourage them to, we want to encourage them to be a part of it and to celebrate the greatness of America, you know?
Okay. Darren, you wanted to say something.
Well, I've got a couple of things to say. First of all, I wanted to ask you what you use your medical marijuana license for.
I use it for, I have had very bad sleep issues. And, you know, I've used, and I have headaches.
Have you had CAT scans
Well, look, you know, I'm not really going to go into, I have bad headaches and I can't sleep. And I also had, you know, I had an erectile dysfunction problem, which I'm not trying to, you know, make a joke or anything.
And smoking marijuana helps all of that, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, So,
the part of that I didn't hear. Did you say erectile dysfunction?
That's correct, yes, sir.
And that's helped you with the so-called ED? Is that it?
Yeah, it has. Because I've had it just, you know, because I've got my nerves.
And you're telling me that erectile dysfunction. All right. My next question is, you said that this is a great country. But you're going to go out there tomorrow and violate the laws of this country. What makes it a great country if you're going to violate the laws of the country?
Well, first of all, it's a great country
to violate laws in.
Not to violate laws in. It's a great country. Okay, here's this Dr. Vag. Hey, Toby.
Hey, Jeff, you want to stay with us here?
I'm sorry, but I just saw that Dr. Vag.
What channel are you looking at, sir?
Well, I'm not sure I want to tell you, because I know that you wanted to prosecute Dr. Vag. Let me explain.
Hold on for a minute, okay? I don't want to go off on this, all right?
Yeah, I think it's the military channel.
Okay, this guy, Dr. Vag, if I could hold on, Phil, I want to call my private eye.
No. And would you stop with the Dr. Vag thing?
Well, that's what okay, I mean, that's what I thought.
That's what I know he wants people to know him, is that. And he's got this thing called Hard Night Male Enhancement. Now, I didn't try it.
Yeah, okay, right there. Now, I knew it.
Wait, what do you mean you tried it?
I did not try it. What I said was I wanted to try it, and I realized the guy's name was Dr. Vag. And that's when I thought the whole thing was a joke.
Yeah, that's why I said what I said about erectile dysfunction. Yeah.
I did not try Hard Night. Okay.
That's why I said about the erectile function.
You mean erectile function?
I think that you were interested in the weed because of that.
No, I was not at all.
Well, did you try this stuff or not?
I told you that I was interested in prosecuting Dr. Vag because that's what I think he wants to be known as.
You keep calling him that. And let me tell you just one thing here. You know, the more you talk about the guy, the more you advertise the guy. And the more people are going to be interested in what it is he's doing, okay? And you've mentioned the guy's product.
I mentioned Hard Night then. All right, there, I just mentioned it again.
Yeah, and that's what you did.
Yeah. What is your name again?
My name's Jeff Dowder.
Would you hold on for a minute because the grown-ups are talking?
Sir, I've been making some points.
All right, hold on for a minute. Just hold on. I want to know, can we stop already with Dr. Vag?
I saw Dr. Vag on it, too. That's all.
Yeah, I get it. Now, you asked me, was I interested in smoking weed for erectile dysfunction? The answer to the question is yes, but I'm not going to do it because it's against the law.
Wow, you're calling it weed and everything? You smoke it?
I'm not. No, I do not smoke it.
So, but you did call it weed.
So what? That's what it is.
Right, but I mean, that's something only people that smoke weed would say.
Well, there, you just said it. Do you smoke weed? No.
No, but I did, and all right.
Yeah, and you want to try it for ED.
I didn't say I've got ED. Well, then why'd you want to try Hard Night? I didn't, because I'm not going to be sucked in by a guy named Vag.
You guys are not making any sense at all. Good night.
Wait a minute. Please don't hang.
God. Number one, forget anything you heard about Hard Night. I don't know anything about it, man. It's some late night testosterone commercial. Number two, while tomorrow is 420, or today, depending upon where you are in the country, remember that smoking marijuana is a violation of federal law. And as such, the feds, they have been coming into California, I know, and probably other states, and they're busting these dispensaries. They just busted Oaksterdam, which is a big, big dispensary in Northern California in Oakland. So who knows where they're planning on traveling next. World-famous Phil Henry Show coming up as our News and Information Hour with Bud and Robert on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Live streaming video of our show right now with a backstage pass. You can see us performing the show as well as doing it. We'll be right back.
What about is Dr. Vag going to be... I got ED. That doesn't mean I'm going to go to Dr. Patrick.
Phil Hendry.